So, as opposed to how I normally write, I try to experiment with breaking it up more and just seeing what that did to how it sounds or how it reads. It's called Untitled Sunday. It was a sunny Sunday afternoon. I sighed, my head unclear. I wondered, touched and kissed your neck and spoke with you, my dear. Unobserved and unspoken, unbecame pajamas. Bella Bure, fall of food, thoughts and feelings blind to us. Blinding light, burning black smoke. Then I see your face and smile when I think back.
Just to mention about the smell, they appear to have done some French polishing of the square of wood downstairs in the tiling, hence it's come up, hence the windows open. Okay, number two, can I call up Bernadette McCarthy?
Thanks. Yeah. I'm not a dwarf yet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, this is a poem I wrote during the week about Inishkeen Ort, an island off County Mayo. I won't give you a history lesson, but it was thought to be a monastic site from the early medieval period, where the community engaged in dyeing cloth using dog wells to make purple dye. And they made some very fine crucifixion slabs. But new research suggests that at some point, maybe in the 8th century, the monastic community was replaced by a Viking community, either forced to love or just replaced them. So it's about that. It's detite cut smooth, foam lightens brain, stone to wait the warp of the pagan loom, damning dog whelps, whirls, monkish really gigs, skins of clay trod, lashed to muck and trod again, to the Salt Rhymes Church, where the priest wore a robe steeped in wine of crushed purpura, linen beneath creamy as the scud of a longboat in the bay. He told them that one grain would go uncounted by the Saviour lanced in stone, beaming at the brethren as the spear clenched his choke. The stone-clad mound still skirts new hope, puffins and wild game, barley on the mocker, the grinning Christ tramped into a suet of small fines, charred oats, till the pots wore through, the iron wept itself into pan, and all that was left above the ascetic sand was the scut of a rabbit gouging out the world's end. Thanks. Just to remind everyone, there is an introduction to the Arabic language with reference to Arabic poetry at 7 p.m. tomorrow night in the Camden Palace. Thanks. Woo.
Next, can I call up Mary O'Connell?
Thanks, Simon. This is about colleagues at work who have friendship and slight fascination with one another. It's called Going the Distance. The lines we keep are parallel, resilient as steel, stretching to infinity and beyond. Side by side, yet still apart, needing each other to ensure that things run smoothly and on time. We gauge the correct distance and never cross the line, unless it be with others on the way. The weight of the world rolls over us, grinds us to the bone, as air between us becomes ironized. The engine of the brain drives ever on, sidelining gentler stirrings as bridges fall away, only screeching to a halt in a shower of acrid sparks when the warning signal falls. Those who track our lives might ask how we maintain this course that swerves and bends to the beyond. Thank you.
Okay, we've got another 18 people to go. So if people, 90, if people could keep it to 2 minutes, maximum three, otherwise we're going to be running way over. Next person up, Joe Sweeney. Joe, are you still there?
He's gone. You got camera called out.
Back to 18. Okay, and next we have Shane Vaughan.
Take a long walk from the back of the room.
No, you play this time now.
I'm sorry. Which is not. No, that's fine.
People keep saying that. I'll judge it right one day.
I'm going to read a poem from my little group in Limerick called Stanzas. We had it there last Friday and it was really, really good. So I'm going to read a poem by a girl called Nina O'Donovan. And it's the first poem that she had for the little chapbooks that I do. So this poem is called Fig. It's the place in you that needs a name, but you're an absolute beginner at naming things. Centered in this pathos, I've never known whether to create stillness or bitter passion. In this, there is a sacrifice, something to see through to the end. The openness I sometimes extract can break me down. Is it better to find a way to say it? Would it be better to hang for it or to forget how the fig is fertilized? In its sweetness to forget the distaste of undermining friendship. I have stretched myself into the past. I have stretched my body to see the places it could end, vain bubbles from where it started, wet blood gasp, sorry, smear of a poem. They write your name next to history repeats all that's left, neutrality at the cost of a better passion, and the count of how many ribs you have and how many you've lost. I abuse my fingers and still expect them to carry me through. There's always a way to see trauma as something to crawl into.
Thanks, Simon. I came across one of those old-fashioned dolls from long ago, and so this is a poem called The Doll. Is it the brightness that shines through your eyes, or the smile that plays on your cheek? Or is it the lips that try to hide the words I heard you speak? Now I am a child, I hop from stone to stone across the sky. The warmth pours through my palm and tingles to the bone, so everything my fingers touch, it tingles. The instant that I question, it has vanished, gone, switched to grey, shrouded in the factual, the things that are carved in stone and rarely changing, slowly moving. But I left the land of set in stone to step on stones again. Too light to be encased, too bright to be extinguished. Fast as thought to recreate the brightness from behind my eyes, the smile that plays upon my cheek. My lips try to hide the words I speak. The doll replied, this is what I do, it's what I do. Thank you.
Next up is Sean Bent. Our five-year-old friend.
This was like the first angry poem I ever wrote, about a year and a half ago. I didn't really, I was kind of too scared to read it out up to this point because I felt like it could so easily be misinterpreted. So I'm just going to say this first of all, I don't believe the words I say in this. It's kind of the opposite of what I feel. It's kind of everything I hate, basically.
Shit, sorry.
I'm honored to be interrupted by your phone call. So yeah, don't take this as my view. It's called walls. The first wall came with a nurturing hand, with talk of the natural and basics to grasp. Oh, boys are funny, girls wear pink, and men are tough and women are weak. The others came with a mixed intent. Enemies, teachers, family and friends all said, emotion is ugly, depression is selfish, the blacks, Romanians and Polish are worthless. The foolish at heart say there is no God, no reason to love, and all of their morals flawed. and above all, one crime that has no equal. To be gay is to be disgusting or evil. The roof, the bars, the dank, heavy air, the comments on YouTube, the posts on Facebook, people leeching the dole from the state, council house scum, drinking and maiming. Oh, the traveller community, they obey no laws and their kids are dying because they chose wrong. The tings from the east, the ignorant savages, and we in the west, the reasons, the affable, satisfying, fitting to blow their mosques. Their idol is terror and ours the one true God. And then I stoop in myself, painting pictures on walls, erecting stock images 4 to 6 feet tall. And I, the shadow upon your caveman wall, I'll sit, wait, watch for the shadows to fall. Sorry, thank you.
Next is Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Simon. He studied the sky at Dunleer, proclaimed, "It's abundantly clear. My telescope shows it's plain as your nose. This new moon seems part of a sphere." International Space Station. The only distant specks to spot up there, occulting stars that were light years away, and absent moons and word by flicker ray, don't get too near to my ionosphere. Of course, she's not about to make a rare appearance, cause it's past her ETA. When waypoints wink inside the Milky Way, will space unearth another billionaire? Research and pride of 16 states gone west. Perhaps we'll have to chart a new black hole, commemorate the cosmonauts deceased. But wait, haha, of course I should have guessed. Our compass is inclined towards hyperbole. They're over here, nowhere near the west.
Thank you. Thanks, Emerson. Now, Patricia Walsh.
This is my attempt at a haiku, so it's called Transcreation. Making deals with God, who will live to tell the tale, sweetest of all things?
Thank you very much, Billy.
Thanks.
Just read this poem, which is kind of about a love triangle. Set on a golf course over the course of the summer. Then nostalgia showed up with his cow dark, needy eyes. He was a thing of skin and gristle, a skinny malink, though the paltriest exertion left him knackered. His clammy, distracted kisser traipsed after me, those brown, brimming puddles too big for its milkiness. His corduroy slacks and burgundy polo neck, his whistling inhalations just a meter to my rear. I'd been making progress. From your father's veranda, you glanced down in bland aloofness every morning at where I saw to the summer broiled fairways. You'd wave, in your diaphanous hip adhering negligee, you'd flick a shower damp tress in my direction as I brandished my useless holes at bald spots, at parched patches, over all the reluctant and disgusted rough. On each sweltering Wednesday I trimmed the back nine, alone but for nostalgia, who'd perch at my sweating elbow repeating himself, until he'd rest on the straggly knoll above the only bunkers, sneaker melting sand. Or he'd hunker for hours by the nitrified water trap, pondering balls grown brownish and weed encumbered, resting like spawn blobs on the hard scrabble bed. I was stowing my folded hose in the caddy shack when your flushed faces came bobbing round the corner of the clubhouse. Your fingers twined, you oblivious, nostalgia's ridiculous features grinning in my direction. What had you been doing by the greasy changing room, behind the brasserie, flaking offal scented, that opened only on those Thursdays, the simpleton chef remembered. Nostalgia hardly struggled when I came at him from behind a few days after that, ramming his cow face into the popping ammonia dimness of the water hazard. I pressed against the rear of his greasy head until the half-hearted splashing stopped. He flopped on the treadbare verge, and for a few precious, terrified seconds until he spluttered, I thought that was the end of him. I'll finish it next week.
Michelle Delay? Michelle?
Yeah. It's a long walk from the back.
The draftsmen of maps cannot blacken their canvases and stipple the darkness with sodium lamps, blushing onto streets intermittently. No, enslaved by waking eyes, they dare not withdraw wholly the beloved sons of cities, leaving coastal lines undefined and their bitter pens redundant. For what's left but sparks randomly scattered unstintingly, hinting at nothing but where the sleepless roam? Why on earth print lights clocking in at dusk, their sole post to prompt home the wandering, the alone, the in love? No, they cannot drape contour lines over hills rayless and shaded. It would be pointless to show this, crippling for business, coiled in nonsense to those seeking scale bars and signposts and footnotes telling them, those hovering lowercase eyes they see will have all the information they need. And an obnoxious red dot boldly proclaims to tell them where they are, while telling them to be elsewhere. Attractions distracting them from now. Now change the eyes to uppercase and cease the searching cursor role your eyes play when played with. I glance unfiltered at the blackened maps. When immersed and searchless, and nowhere to be, I find words emerging fontless in their trees, skipping the state of being written and sending themselves to me, barely formed before born a thought, emerging somewhere between the four corners of me. The map's black read, you are here.
And now, Lizzie Crowley.
When the forge was glowing and all signs point to go, when leaden tongues fill dry mouths and the static becomes too much to bear, when the room is filled with locked voices and raised doors, who will be brave enough to take that first step into the abyss? I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. I won't. I can't. I mustn't, I shouldn't. When you gather up all your strength but trip before the first hurdle, who's to say you never tried? What is the purpose of faded breath? What's the point of a nervous stomach? I am nerve endings with jagged tips. Nervy, but nervous, and so less than it.
And now we have Max Green.
Very somber, so I'm going to keep it short. So this is the one of your sneaky fag last night, something I'm really not supposed to do. And it's very rough. You know me, it's in the writing. Outback pluming, diamonds over lit, silvery gins jiggle and wink through the purple haze. They pulse and dip and nip inside the ether. One forges forward in a customary regularity. It shuttles its trajectory. It bisects the sky with its arc. I'm secreted in my dugout. There's a little bit of a yard light alert. I dodge inside the garage door. Spotted by Puss and her attic sniper post. Frosty pegs stand to attention, and bounce back rays, reflected starbeams straight through my eyes. I freeze. There's activity in the kitchen area. I better not catch the health squad patrol. Searchlight switched on. I will resolutely pollute if I want to. Think of the children. Now for my game of oats. I mind out and I'm snuffed out. I puff out and I pout. And I resolutely stride back out. Good night, sweet Venus. Da's western star. In those evenings, we will reconnoitre at dawn under Ballyheeda's eastern spires. Sneaky smokes and stars.
Excellent. And now from the back, Jerry O'Neill. Jerry. Absolutely.
It's something seasonal. Called Seven Golden Daffodils, a title which I hope is self-explanatory. You don't need green fingers, just a full fist of firm, fleshy testicular bulbs. You dig a hole and bury them, and then nothing but wait until that brisk spring morning when Bridget spreads her mystic mantle. And voila. There they are, outside the gate, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Ah, Wordsworth, you should see them by. Seven golden daffodils, glowing, glorious, glimmering, glossy, glamorous, glitzy, even a little gaudy. So gorgeous they exhaust my store of G-words. There they are, smiling sweetly at me, laughing loudly at kids on mountain bikes, beaming broadly at rush hour traffic, recklessly racing by. There they are, singing and chanting joyous hosannas, swinging and swaying and dancing fandangos and wild faleros. A few steps of a slip jig, and now gently gyrating in the general direction of the female jogger, bounding by with bouncing breasts and clinging sweatpants. There they are, seven golden heads, nodding sagely and going, well, where the fuck are all the bees? We badly need a few sunny days so we can engage in some serious, consensual pollination. They're gone. So who took them? They weren't yours to take. Was it a little old lady too poor to pay 150 for a bunch at Tesco? She's welcome to them. Or a guilt-stricken drunk, weaving and wavering his way back to an angry spouse, bearing outstretched a conciliatory gift or seven drunken daffodils. He's welcome to them. Or an innocent little girl skipping home, Mommy, look what I found. I'd like to think so. She's welcome to them. May she grow and blossom to a life of flamboyant Valentine roses and fragrant musky anniversary orchids. And she's welcome to them too. Did the person who took them have no excuse? The person who took my seven golden daffodils, each surgically severed at the base, to become supermodels, serene, tall and aloof in a crystal jar. I don't really care who took them. Whoever it was, you're welcome. And may they never bring you a day's bad luck.
And now, Eugene Crowley.
You asked me for my Eastern word picture. It's a long way from the Jacobsburg mountain outstations. Gdi Ilan Clara, Chiapain Nave Kiran, mass passes, the east window fills with light, light of Christ falling on a country pilgrim, Chine.
And now
God is not compassionate. Join in on the fun or don't. It won't matter. You will pay in full. God is mean and playful. Many have tried and succeeded, setting on places and groups of faith, becoming shameless farming freight. You have not been forgotten, actually, you are constantly reminded, until you, your brother and sisters, all, are one and have finally bonded. The rules are simple. Lose sight of the end and meet it. Or, play safe, stay poor, and beat it. What is karma if you lose all anyway? Only a restriction allowing some sort of justice. Rigging the game, cancelling the game, leaving us to become him, yet just us. There are all reasons we won't understand for which we are here. Among this multitude is to know about love and fear. You will struggle and flee, fight and kill, delight, threaten, protect and thrill. It is not for you, and yet it is. For you in him is all there is. In life, there is no profit worth making without a matching lesson worth learning. God is a growing child, always eating. Nothing matters. When hungry, he will be feeding. He is waiting for your return, as by essence, you can only be late. An almighty, capricious child, God is not compassionate.
And now to the mic, Kieran McCarthy.
A sapling's eternity. And her, the purest and brightest of cells, a strong, a flower, sorry, a sapling's eternity. And her, the purest and brightest of cells, a great flower of strength. I don't have a mind right now. And her, the purest and brightest of selves, a great flower of strength, condemned to a shelf by the desires of small men, acting from vice twice per breath, rustling mind's rest. What will she be when, with slick stroke of pen, she tries to scribe with a man's brazen language the beauty of her soul? A still calm shaken, and what toll taken on entering what gate and by who, if surely not by you, young man, coaxing your desired with desire, and glorifying all that she could be, if allowed free to roam in your imagination. Singer to a craving choir, performs atop a higher pyre, where her youth goes to seed. The arms of the sickly and sweating reach out long and grasp. Indulge not the hands of the potter, whose thirst for clay could not but distort the free and the beautiful. Formed of a happy accident, forged by the wanderings of will. What will you look like when painted with a man's grey acrylics, stroking his ego's every fantasy, whose brushes bristle and brittly belittle a heart glow of hope? Young man, you know only the view from the helm, and so are unfit to envision that which you grade beneath your gaze, could never look up and see the power of her beauty or the beauty of her power. The worship of a fragment does nothing to contribute to wholesome completion. The complete that accepts classification between fragment and fantasy knows nothing of what it is to be whole, acts from vice. Learn twice per breath, inhale sweet death, inhale small death, exhales the sweet nectar of her being, tainted for the seeing in a context such as this, room of hungry eyes, parasites in paradise. Parasites in paradise, marked with kisses of demise, a beauty unspent, ignorant of itself, attempts to reshelf a great flower of strength.
Thanks a lot.
And take it forward.
Freak. The sky was on fire, the sea monstrous, as we walked on the hazardous roof of the old big house. I was high on destiny. Nightfall, full of fear, we left the fire to commune with ghosts in the pitch black rooms and corridors. Someday, if we ever return, we will look for ghosts of ourselves. We will stop and listen for footsteps and voices. We will watch for figments of lighter flame in the darkness. For who can deny the sweets of memory? It is easier to deny the raging sky and the ravenous sea. Thanks.
couple more to go. Stanley Knott.
Thanks, Simon. It's okay, I'm not the boss.
Cool.
Okay, this is a new one. For those of you who don't know, I write poems using song titles. And this one is constructed using song titles from fabulous Lennon and McCartney. There may be a George Harrison in there somewhere, but I can't swear to it. So if you're George Harrison, then don't be offended. Across the universe, I know a man is crying. I forgot to remember to forget you won't see me. That yesterday all my loving was free as a bird. And if I needed something, the inner light of she loves you told this boy, that's all right, Mama. I just don't understand what you're doing, why you've got to hide your love away. Go searching here, there and everywhere for a shot of rhythm and blues, some other guy. I want to tell you there's a place you don't bother me, that I'm moving on, that hope for the future holds me tight in golden slumbers 8 days a week. I want to shout, I feel fine without you. But the long, long, long and winding road of my ever-present past has me crippled inside. And scared isolation has hello, goodbye, flying helter-skelter from me to you, you to me to you to us to you to us. And I'm so tired. When I'm not sleeping, I dream happiness is a warm gun I will hammer until every little thing you said, I need you, I want you, I will. Come together on a moonlight bay, and starting over, in spite of all the danger, says, it won't be long, darling boy, it won't be long.
David Acker.
Yeah, hello again. I tried to write a poem and I killed it. I made three haikus out of it. Like very short little poems in Japanese style. The first one is Elevator Silence 1. Oops. Moving silence between two strings. Crystallized islands. The second is Elevator Silence 2. Shoelace Charybdis, Elevator Door Scylla. Avoid turning heads. And the third one is Elevator Silence 3. Infinity loop, a null on a string, shaky little chaplet beat. Yeah, chaplet beat.
Yeah. And now to wind us up for a couple of minutes, Mikkel Johar.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Thank you.